Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
He leads away. Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanny.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Hello and welcome to The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. I'm Emily Collin.
I'm Laura Jolly.
And joining LJ and I on The Scoop today here at Marnica Oval, we're doing a podcast in person together, which is a nice change, LJ. Joining us is Kimmy Garth and Darcy Round, a couple of fast bowlers. So it's great to chat to them about what it's like to be back in Australia after their time in India and just a bit of general fast bowling chat. But firstly, LJ, we haven't really had a chance to wrap up the India series. It was all pretty frantic when you guys got out of there. So talk us through it. It was an excellent finish for the girls. Very good showing with the white ball staff. 5 out of 6 wins, apart from that first T20. And hearing Elisa Healy speak after the tour wrapped up, it seemed like she was pretty stoked with how it all unfolded as her first tour as permanent captain.
Yeah, she was. She kind of made a comment at the end of the test when some of the local journalists asked her if Australia's, era of dominance was done after that test loss. And she said, look, how about we gauge ourselves after the white ball series? And they won 5 out of 6 matches, whitewashed the ODIs. I think that was quite emphatic.
Yep.
T20s, bit of an uncharacteristic performance in that first T20. Didn't manage to put a huge total on the board, and then India chased it at an absolute canter to win by 9 wickets. But they bounced back really nicely to win the series 2-1. Obviously, it's a venue where chasing really works. So Elisa Healy definitely winning those last 2 tosses and opting to bat second probably played a hand in those performances, but they also just were a very polished unit in all facets across those last 2 games. So really good way to end the series and have a bit of T20 momentum, I think, coming into this South African series.
Yeah.
And kind of feels like we're in India yesterday. Yeah. And also a year ago.
And I guess with 2 World Cups coming up in subcontinental conditions, they'll have looked at that tour as really valuable practice time on those kind of wickets for the T20 World Cup coming up in Bangladesh, as well as the ODI World Cup in India a little bit later. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll take plenty out of that tour.
Yeah, and we saw a bit of a change in team balance from Australia too, looking to try something different. They dropped Grace Harris during the Windies matches in October and brought Phoebe Litchfield in with the idea of having a left-hander in that middle order. But we saw them actually leave out a frontline bowler and bring Grace back into the 11 for the matches in India, looking to like really go all out with quite a like epic batting lineup, really, when you're adding Grace Harris into that top 7 and you've still got Annabelle Sutherland and Georgia Wareham theoretically below them, depending on the makeup of the bowling attack.
That's a deep batting order.
That's making a real statement about how they want to go about their batting in particular. We didn't really get a chance to see that in India. They struggled a bit, didn't really put out the performance they wanted in that first T20, and then chased in the second 2 and didn't really get a chance to flex. So we really interesting to see what makeup they put out there in these games against South Africa, and particularly what they can do if they do get the chance to bat first.
Yeah, hopefully for everyone's sake, we get to see that unfold. You mentioned Phoebe Litchfield. What a tour it was for her, particularly in the white ball stuff. Scores of 78, 63, 119, 49, 18 not out, and then the 17 not out. She must have looked like she was batting on another planet.
Yeah, it looked an absolute million bucks out there. Obviously opened the batting in those three ODIs, put out three really brilliant performances. You could see her get better each game too. I think that was the most exciting part.
Yeah.
Like the first game, she wasn't striking that quickly, wasn't her most fluent innings. Then by the time she got to the 119, it was like she'd figured out everything that wasn't working in those first two games and immediately fixed it. And then to jump down into the middle order for the T20 stuff and be so impactful there too was really exciting. She came out under a little bit of pressure with late wickets to ice those last two chases too. So it's just so exciting to see what Phoebe Litchfield can do.
Yeah.
Rightfully being named the ICC Emerging Cricketer of the Year, and just imagine what she's going to do over the next 12 months.
God, it's extremely exciting. And I know that plenty of Aussie fans are also extremely up and about.
And don't forget those catches she took.
Oh, exactly.
In those T20s as well.
What a weapon.
Incredible cricketer.
She might start bowling soon. Now, we know that South Africa have landed in Australia. They flew into Sydney and played against a very young Governor-General's 11, captained by Sophie Molyneux. And it was a good day out for the Governor-General's 11, who got the win. Skipper Sophie Molyneux with a 50 at the top of the order and Tess Flintoff with 42 off 27. And, yeah, it was a pretty young and inexperienced group that a lot of WBBL fans will know a lot of those names. But, yeah, it was pretty impressive to see them getting the win over an international team.
Absolutely. And they had South Africa in all sorts with 3 for 15-odd early on in that match. Chloe Ainsworth got the big wicket of Laura Wolf up for a duck.
Chloe Ainsworth. Love
so
to see it.
Really exciting times for a young team there, and also just really cool to see Sophie Molyneux back in charge of that team, making runs. She's been in good form for Victoria as well, and I guess really pressing her case to get back into the Australian team, which she's been out of for quite a while now. You kind of forget with the injuries she's had how long it's actually been since she last played for Australia. I think it was that 2021 series against India.
It will be interesting. When do you reckon that selection squeeze could come to fruition?
It could be as soon as Bangladesh, really. If you're expecting low, slow turning wickets in Bangladesh, you reckon they're going to take a bunch of spinners over there. So it could come up as soon as that.
Yeah.
I'd even say with absolutely no inside knowledge. She could even be a smoky for test selection.
Yeah.
If they think the whacker might be conducive to a bit of spin. It is the whacker. We don't know. But she was outstanding in that test she played against England on debut a few years ago and is suited to that format. So you never know. I'm probably being a little bit rogue with that call.
No, we like it. That's what we're here for, the scoop. Rogue calls. No, it's a very interesting one to keep an eye on. And she just keeps, like, this looks like she's chipping her way back to her best. So I'm sure we'll see it very soon, no doubt. But we've had our first Aussie training session here on Manuka Oval. We had a full squad assembled, with the exception of skipper Elisa Healy, who is, from all reports, a little bit unwell.
Yeah, we asked Elise Perry about that at her press conference today, and she said Midge is just a bit crook. She's negative on COVID tests and all that, just under the weather, and is expected to come good in time for Saturday. I think it would take a lot to keep Midge out. She plays with all sorts of broken fingers. Lots going on.
Yeah, we'll back her into play. So it all gets underway, Aussie fans, on Saturday at Manuka Oval. The first T20 starts at 10:45 a.m. So it's a morning match, which we're not quite used to. So it's a bit of an adjustment. But you can watch that live and free on Channel 7 and as well on Foxtel and KO. Make sure you keep up to date with all the latest news, highlights, scores on cricket.com.au and our platforms. But for now, here is a fun chat with Darcy Brown and Kim Garth. Darcy Brown, Kim Garth, welcome to the scoop here at Manuka Oval. Bit of a different setup. First question, did you guys have a news resolution? And if you did, how are they going?
Take more wickets.
Yeah, that's solid. Probably a good one. Mine was to get up early, but because we've had so many late night games and stuff, I haven't been able to do it. Okay. Maybe after this series, I might try it for a week.
No, I to be fair, no, I didn't really actually.
No, so you just leveled.
Same me, yeah.
It's early days in January anyway.
Yeah.
And it,
And you haven't had much time to get up early, Darcy, with being in Nepal after India. Can you tell us about that trip and what you did when you were there?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get a few days off and be able to fly over there. Baggage was almost all good. what we took was all good. My boyfriend Louis grew up there or lived there for 6 months, and we went to the village where he lived and sort of went to see what that was all about, and it was really cool and can't wait to go back for a bit longer.
Highlight of the trip?
Probably, I reckon the flights over the Himalayas was pretty cool. Like, you're just looking out the window and just all the mountains. We were trying to pick which one was Mount Everest. Like, this one?
Yeah.
No, this one. No, this one. Because they're all very, very big. I thought Mount Everest was just by itself.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not.
Okay.
Turns out it's just with a bunch of other big ones, so.
Would you like to see people climbing or?
No.
Nah, no, too high. Kimmy G, any exciting activities for you in the short break that we got?
Not overly. So I bought a house over the last few months.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting.
That is very exciting.
That is very exciting.
But I got the keys while we were in India. So
okay.
Got to spend a bit of time in the new house, which is really cool. And just, doing little jobs for the house.
Very good.
Yeah, it was really, really, really cool to be able to have a few weeks off, and it's a good time of year back in Melbourne.
Nice.
That was really cool.
Very good. And you ladies have just come off the training track, first session for this series against South Africa. How is it being back? How is training? How is it seeing everyone again?
Yeah, it felt like we'd seen each other, a couple of days ago, which is basically what we have. But, it's always nice to get out there. I think this will be probably our only main session for the whole trip because we're so jam-packed with travel and games and stuff, but it was nice.
Awesome. And you guys are obviously professional athletes and you spend a lot of time training. Who loves training in this group? Loves it the most?
Not us.
Probably Pez, you reckon?
Yeah, Pez.
She just like pretty much always last one to leave.
Belzy,
yeah.
She's a secret lover of training.
Yeah. Phoebes does as well.
Yeah. I feel like you can just tell, I don't know, by their personalities that they think they like would love training.
Is it a little bit different for the fast bowlers? Like, it sort of seems like the fast bowlers get treated a little bit differently.
We get bubble wrapped a bit, don't we?
Yeah, it's nice.
We have all this loads stuff, but we can't bowl too much, so that's our excuse for not training too much.
Yeah.
And to be fair, if I could hit them like any of Phoebe's Bells or Pez, I'd probably bat for a lot longer.
100%, it's short batting net sessions for us.
Yeah. We usually don't last in 30 minutes because we crack it and walk it.
Anyway, that's just you.
Sorry, I dragged you into it.
And coach's pet, who like at training is really sort of sucking up to the coaches, and who would you say coach's pet?
I want to say Kingy.
Kingy.
Oh, yeah, Kingy is a bit like that, yeah, I reckon.
But I don't think she's intentionally, doing it. I think she's just like a really nice person and just likes packing up stuff and, I don't know, hanging out with them.
Yeah.
Moons
a bit, do you reckon?
Yeah, maybe Moons as well.
But I feel like that's also Moons is like quite friendly with.
Yeah. They all get on. I mean, everyone loves the staff here. They're just
awesome.
Our friends.
Yeah.
First and foremost, but I think those two get along with them extra well.
And Scott Prestwich has been in charge of your fast bowling group for a little while now. What's he like as a coach?
That is not a reflection on Presto.
No,
he's great. He's really, really cool. He's pretty chilled, but he's really good to just chew the fat with about bowling and all things bowling. And there's we talk a lot about lengths, don't we? The 5.5 meters and
lots of meters in what he talks about. Ultimate dad sort of vibe.
He's such a dad. But
we love him.
He's all about
energy and attitude. Is basically what he says most of the time. But he's been great.
He loves a good joke as well.
Yeah.
He thinks he's really funny. He's funny. But we love him.
Who's the bowling coach's pet?
Belzy, you reckon?
Yeah,
she loves all that drill stuff and Pez.
Yeah.
And so
we're throwing everyone under the bus here.
Yeah.
So we've got an important member of your fast bowling cartel is approaching a special milestone. So Megan Shute all set to play her 200th game at Adelaide Oval, first ODI. Are you guys able to just tell me about the first time you met or encountered Shooter?
Oh, yeah, I think I remember. Like, this is during club cricket back home in South Australia. We were playing her club team, Stir. I'm Northern Districts. And I remember she was bowling and I had no idea. I didn't know who she was or whatever. And I thought she was Alex Price. I thought they were the same person for some reason anyway. And she was just going off at the umpire just in a club game, and I remember someone saying, "Oh, stop complaining, Shooter, blah blah blah,"
And then for so long I thought that was Alex Price. Like, I don't know why I've meshed it together. Funny. And then until,
you know, yeah, I started training at Scorps, then I realised, no, they're two different people. So, yeah, that would probably be my first memory of her.
I didn't really have a whole heap to do with Tudor until I came into the team. Yeah. I had a few nights out with her over the years in Big Bash from playing against her more than anything. So I reckon the first time I met her was at the casino in Sydney, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, the Gallican party. But,
on the roulette table or something.
Yeah.
Chase your losses, as they say.
Yeah. Until I came into this team, I only really got to know her, I guess, probably in the last year. But, yeah, she's awesome. She's just super fiery, super competitive. Yeah. But, yeah, so skillful in everything she does and quite a stubborn character. Doris can probably tell you more about that. But, yeah, she's absolutely awesome and someone who you always want on your team. Yeah.
And she's obviously the most experienced member, or one of the most experienced members of the fast bowling crew these days. Does she take on a bit of mentoring with you guys now that she's one of the older players in the group?
Probably mentoring for me, probably not Kimmy. Yeah, she's on my back a fair bit. But, yeah, no, she's been great, especially for my career so far. She's probably been one of the main ones with her and T-Mac, just sort of, with cricket stuff, but also outside of cricket stuff too. She's been really good. We're very lucky to have her.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess she's always there to chat to you about bowling and plans and that kind of stuff. And she's great to just bounce ideas off and chat to her at the top of your marsh. She's really cool.
Yeah, very good. Should be a good day at Adelaide Oval.
That's so cool. How fitting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Worked out well. So South Africa, you guys haven't played these guys in a bilateral series for a pretty long time now, but you've played them in a World Cup final recently. Who do you see as their most dangerous player and why?
Tricky. Yeah.
It's probably hard to go past the likes of Wolvart. Yep. And, she's been there for a fair while now and pretty consistent performer for them. Cappy as well, we know what she can do. Yeah. All around very good cricketer. And Chloe Tryon's probably a bit of an X-factor player as well. Can take a game away from you quite quickly. I guess those three we've seen a lot. Seen feature a lot over the WBBL. We know what they can do, and I reckon they'd probably be three of their players to look out for.
So you probably had a bit to do with Marizan Kapp at the Sixers back in the day. What's she like as a person? Because we know what she's like on the field.
Yeah, long time ago. I didn't get much from her on or off the field. But, she's very sweet, just quiet and keeps to herself. Very competitive, as we can see, once she crosses the line and, playing with her and against her, just see how competitive she is. We know what she can do. She's such a good cricketer and has been for a long time.
Guys, thank you for joining us today on The Scoop. She'll be a cracking series against South Africa. Can't wait to watch you go out there here at Marnica Oval on Saturday. Go well.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
He leads away. Australia.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.